Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Six.
The Steelers.
Well, are we counting that Sunday's game with the Steelers? It may not matter, but are we? They play the Bills.
Well, that's actually up to you to decide.
I think I think by the end of the Thanksgiving week of games,
I'm still confident in it. Okay.
But so it doesn't matter because they're playing the Bills. It's not like that's the week they get the Dolphins or anything.
So I will pitch the sports talk football to you, and you tell everybody why you think in the span of 5 weeks, the Steelers will have blown a 3-game lead to the Ravens.
Yeah, what was it, 3.5 even at one point?
Yeah.
Right? It was 4-1. They were
1-5.
They had
a chance to make it 4 games and didn't.
And did you ever try to push me to your side?
I didn't inaccurately describe what went on here,
no.
Did I, Malsy?
No, Donnie has...
Sometimes you say, oh, you put words in my mouth. I don't think I put any words in your mouth.
No, Donnie
there.
Has taken a loud victory lap of, I didn't give in to peer pressure, boys. You tried and you tried. And Malsy, you fell victim to Pony's peer pressure, but I didn't.
And the power of the rhetoric.
Donnie, you've puffed your chest out, and you've earned the right to do that.
I stood my ground. I withheld that Pony bull rush at me to try and get me to jump early, very early, and crown the Steelers as division champs. And this isn't even me saying they will lose every single game the rest of the way or something ridiculous.
Talking about the Steelers.
Yes, yeah. I just think the Ravens are about to go on a bit of a run. They just beat the Bears, who were playing pretty good football, mind you, on Sunday with Tyler Huntley at quarterback, and they beat them by 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Now they will play 5 games. The Steelers will play, I mean, we'll just say 5 games. We'll count that whole Thanksgiving weekend. And in that span, I do think the Ravens
will win out.
Will be able to go 5-0.
So 7-5.
They have 3 consecutive road games.
Yep.
But this one tonight in Miami. Lamar Jackson always shines in Miami. Then they go to Minnesota, who certainly doesn't look as scary as the 2024 team. They have so little confidence in their young quarterback. They had Carson Wentz play with basically one arm.
Yeah, O'Connell,
last Thursday night,
praised for being this coach quarterback savant, and Whisperer really screwed that up.
And
this
the
year.
Brian Flores defense doesn't look,
I agree,
as scary. Then they go to Cleveland, where, yeah, that's tough divisional game on the road, but I still think that the Ravens with Lamar Jackson would have the edge in that game. Then they get back-to-back home games, the Jets on November 23rd, and then on Thanksgiving night, they get Joe Flacco and those Bengals.
Yeah, because we don't think Burrow's going to be back yet by that time.
I think they're winning all 5.
Okay. So if you think the Steelers are going to pass them up,
The Ravens are going to pass them up.
You don't think the Steelers will do any better than 2-3 in their next 5 games?
So that would put the Ravens at 7-5.
Yep.
I think the Steelers have a very real chance to lose these next two. I've already said they're going to, I think they're going to get bludgeoned on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
4-4.
I don't know if I'm quite there about the game in LA, but let's just say it's a loss.
4-5.
Prime time in a game where there will be more terrible.
So
towels.
Now the Steelers need to win out to match the Ravens at 7-5.
I do think they get back at the Bengals that next week.
Do we think Flacco's playing for the Bengals by then? He might play this week, actually, since he probably took a shot of.
Yeah, assuming he'll.
Yeah, he'll play.
He'll be in, but I do. But think
he's also
they get the better
ancient, so maybe by then he is hurt. Anyways, 5-5.
Then let's just say they beat Chicago.
6-5. Even though they never win
a place they haven't in won in 30 years.
Yep.
And then they get the Buffalo Bills that final weekend in November, and I'm going to just say now that's a loss.
So 6-6.
And then they'll be dead and buried once the Ravens beat them the following week in Baltimore. They'll be 6-7. The Ravens will be 8-5.
Man, but what just a scary scenario he's laying out, that this is going to be so short-lived. The ecstasy of the Steelers' start to the season and looking like the Ravens are so far back in the rearview mirror, they got no shot. Donnie's saying they're going to pass you with still the third quarter or the fourth quarter of the season ahead of you.
You're going to have an entire month of December plus a game in January, and he thinks they'll be.
Do you agree with him?
I think there's a better chance of that than not. I'm at like a low point as far as how I view the Steelers, and that's having said that I'm at
that's
a low point.
That's not agreeing with him though, Malzi.
No, I think he's right. I think the Ravens are going to get on a tear. The Steelers' offense is the best one I've seen at probably from them since 2018. I think like when it really gets going, it gets rolling downhill quick and they can actually put up points for the most part.
Okay.
I think their defense is as bad as I've ever seen it, and I have very little to no faith that it gets better because it's very old. It is an old defense counting on old people. We have the defensive-minded head coach who hammers it into the brains of the general public that it's damn near impossible for players who haven't been around to get on a moving train.
Yeah.
And he's importing guys left and right. He's got the New England Patriots 2024 starting safety positions locked down now with Peppers and Duggar. That defense stunk last year. He's relying on all these new parts. Did you see your guy Jordan Schultz's...
Schultz!
Did you see Underdog Fantasy or whatever?
He stepped in with a hot take?
He's a reporter and a guy that starts fights at
Starbucks.
They were citing his reporting, this Underdog Fantasy. Donnie, I don't know if you saw this. It was Jordan Schultz, per his intel, what teams are looking for at the deadline. Did you happen to see what it said?
No, I did not.
I did not.
It said, Steelers are looking for wide receivers. Okay, no surprise. And then it said, anything on the defensive side of the ball. They are literally looking for any able-bodied defenders, is how he made it seem. Now, the Eagles are also listed in there. It says, open to everything, essentially. But that's Howie Roseman.
That's great reporting.
Okay.
Actually, it's probably
true because it's Howie. It made it seem like the Steelers are doing the give me your weak, your tired, your huddled defensive players. I don't care basically what the Steelers are saying. If you think they can't play anymore, if you're willing to trade them, we're willing to listen. If he's right, just humor me.
Donnie, what is
reeking of desperation.
Donnie, what are you doing for Thanksgiving this year? Are you going to your sister's? You going to your...
I'll probably be here because we'll probably have high school football of some sort that week.
All right. I'll make a deal with you right now. You ready to make a bet? I'm good at those.
No, boy.
And obviously, we won't know until afterwards, so I'll have to compensate you after the fact. If the Steelers are behind the Ravens by the end of Thanksgiving week, I will pay for your family's Thanksgiving spread. Turkey, potatoes, cranberry sauce, pies, you name it. Okay?
Okay.
If the Steelers are tied or ahead of the Ravens, I want a turkey hoagie once a week for a month.
Just a plain turkey hoagie, like turkey.
Well, I'll dress it up and put things on it. Okay. Yeah,
Tell me so. You want me to personally make it, or
you go out and pick it up for someplace. Yeah,
Donnie goes out, kills an actual turkey, cures the meat.
You good with that?
Yeah, I think that's a good deal. I'll take that.
See, I'm right back to my old ways, Malzi. People thought piercing my nipples would get me out of the creative bet game.
So because we're using this as the next five games, you'll be retroactively paying him.
Yeah, because he'll have his Thanksgiving dinner, unless it's already decided by then, in which case...
God, you gotta hope it's already decided, Donnie, because then you can go hog wild buying stuff. Can you imagine
Would you do that? Would you go hog wild?
We'd probably just do the same thing we normally
you know what
do.
You should
What's the
get?
Normal...
Wait, are you including any beer he might drink or alcohol?
Sure.
Yeah. Well, now, here's the other
I'll
thing.
I'll throw that in there.
I probably won't be with my immediate family. It'd probably be with Sarah's family.
Yeah,
if
I'll
we
pay
stay
for
up
it.
Here.
I'll pay for Sarah's family. I don't care.
So you don't think it's going to happen, Pony?
No.
Based on the Steelers getting their act together or based on the Ravens not being as fearsome as people think?
I think the Steelers will probably be 6-6. I don't think the Ravens are getting through, even though there's no big landmines. I don't think they get through that untouched. I don't think they play perfect football.
The Ravens?
Yes. I also would say this, as a guy that is in 33 fantasy leagues and has Lamar Jackson in a few of them, which, you know, is a conflict of interest and pains me, but I, you know, put my money ahead of my personal feelings. I'm still not convinced Jackson is going to stay healthy with this hamstring thing.
It's soft tissue, which is always nerve-wracking.
And so, cool, he's going to play tonight. They rested him Sunday, and they won and scored 30 points and held the Bears in check. But I don't think he's out of the proverbial woods yet, Malzi.
I think,
you like that take?
I think his injury is a dodgy one. I think they have rectified a major wrong that might be the worst tactical decision of all of them that Harbaugh's made this year when they got Cooper Rush the hell out of there and brought in Snoop to play. Because he at least is a facsimile of Jackson.
He played a good game against Chicago.
Well, as far as his style, he just makes more sense. Cooper Rush never made sense as their backup. He plays a jarringly different version of quarterback than Lamar. Somebody called him the Snoop Huntley Tamu version of Lamar Jackson. Like, I like that.
What's Tamu?
Like the knockoff brand.
Who started that term?
I don't know. Tamu's a whole...
It's almost like when I said he was the Aldi brand.
Oh, I get that. Yeah.
Tamu's an actually like an online... Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's a big thing. Like, yeah.
Should I know that?
I'm sure Amanda has purchased something off Tamu.
I'll text her during the break and
ask her. T-E-M-U, if she's anything like Alex, she has. But I actually would say this. If Jackson, say, they beat Miami, but he like tweaks the hammy late in the game, but it's a blowout, and he can't go against the Vikings, I absolutely believe they could go on the road with Snoop Huntley.
Oh, I think they could, but I don't think they'd be a slam dunk to win the game.
Of the next five games they're going to play, likeliest to least likely loss for the Ravens.
I think the most likely is Minnesota because it's on the road.
You know who I think
maybe McCarthy's actually.
You know
good.
Who I think is going to play them unbelievably tough is
the Browns.
Cleveland.
I knew you were going to say that.
Well, listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode. So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
They do usually.
For Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Time to talk to one of the best out there, Steelers insider Ray Fittipaldo, brought to you by Western PA injury attorneys Larry Kelly and Joe George from LGKG, your home team. All right, Ray, late breaking news here. Darius Slay scratched from practice for a personal reason. Sometimes when this happens, reporters will dig and find out, okay, what's going on? Is this something that should be on my radar? Or is it like a kid being sick at school and it's nothing to really concern yourself with and no big deal? I mean, the conspiracy theory in me says maybe this guy's going to get traded now. What's your take?
Yeah, well, they just put that out 10 or 15 minutes ago, so I have not had a chance to check in on exactly what's going on. I mean, I'll be honest, my first thought was the same as yours, but I will tell you that Darius did an interview yesterday. Seemed like he was fine, you know, smiling, happy like he always is. So we'll see if he's in there tomorrow, and you know, that's when we'll get the full story. But yeah, for right now, we'll just take them at their word that he missed due to a personal.
Ray, if he even is available on Sunday and this is just no big deal and he's back tomorrow, is he going to get starters reps at corner against the Colts?
Well, I mean, the Colts have a pretty diverse pass-catching group, so I would imagine, yes, he would be involved in some form or measure. But, you know, Brandon Echols finished that game against the Packers for Darius. Now, Darius Sled kind of had like a calf thing going on, so, you know, maybe that was part of the equation. But, yeah, I don't really expect Darius to be fully benched. But, listen, if you're not playing well, there's always the chance that a guy like Echols or somebody else can step in and take some of your reps away from you.
Ray, I liked what you wrote today, citing Rex Ryan criticizing the Steelers as far as being old. You juxtaposed it with when Warren Sapp said the 2011 team was old, and then they went 12-4. Yeah. But that was after one game. This, in this case, is after seven. How much do you think the age of this defense, especially some of the key guys, is an issue for them moving forward?
Well, first off, I knew that 2011 defense rebounded and did very well. I went back and looked. That 2012 defense also was first in the league in total defense and yards allowed. So they actually didn't fall off the cliff until 2013. But, yeah, just talking about this defense, it's a completely different scenario. As you mentioned, we're almost half a season into this, and things seem to be getting worse rather than getting better. You know, they probably are starting to show their age. And I was telling somebody else, you know, this thought I had. You know, usually when you sign veteran players, you're not expecting to get like the Jalen Ramsey out of Florida State who ran 4.3 or whatever. You know you're not getting that version, that athlete.
Mm-hmm.
But you're expecting to get that experience, right? Like that guy's who he's a step ahead of the quarterback. He can read things. He understands things. And I think the problem with the Steelers' defense, they're not all on the same page.
Malzi said the exact thing.
You're almost negating the experience of a Jalen Ramsey and of a Darius Slay and anybody else you want to throw out there who has a little bit of age on them because they're not able to play fast because whether it's not understanding the defense, they're getting the calls late, the communications late from the sideline. It just seems to be kind of like a fire drill every single week when those calls come in. So, you know, that's one thought I would have. You know, it's possible these guys fell off a cliff, but how likely is it that all these guys fell off the cliff at the same time? I think there's something else going on at hand.
Ray, why do you think those calls come in sometimes and it's like a fire drill? How do you explain the problems communicating?
I mean, listen, it's been going on for years. You know, a lot of people said, well, it's, you know, Minka's the problem. Oh, if Minka's not here, Minka's not the problem. You know, Cam Sutton's the problem last year. Well, Cam Sutton's not here. So, you know, like the issues, every team has some problems with relaying the signals, but it's an ongoing issue here. I guess Mike Tomlin and Terrell Austin are the coaches. They're the ones who have to accept you know, the full blame here, but I'm sure it's on the players too. And they got to get that stuff communicated as soon as they get it, and then they got to get them lined up right. And I know it's a tricky thing sometimes, but I kind of feel like the Steelers have more problems with this than most teams in the league, and I'm not sure why that is.
Ray, one thing we do on the show sometimes is I'll say something, Malzi will vehemently disagree with me, and then Donnie is forced to break the tie and tell everybody who he sides with, and he's kind of like the kid at the top of the stairs watching his parents argue.
That analogy.
At the Post-Gazette, you've got Jerry Dulac saying, blaming Terrell Austin for the defense is like blaming a painter for bad paint. And then you've got Chris Carter saying, you know, very vociferously, Terrell Austin calls the defense, which I think puts responsibility on him. So in your opinion, break that tie. Who do you think's closer to being right?
I think what Terrell Austin said today, and you guys probably played the clip.
We did.
He's calling the defense unless Mike wants to call it. Now, the way I view that is, you know, Terrell's going to have the calls on first and second down. If there's one of those so-called weighty downs that Mike Tomlin likes to talk about, then, you know, maybe Mike will weigh in and Mike will say, hey, you know, TA, I want to run this here. And then TA is communicating that to the guys on the field. That's how I interpreted what TA said. You know, Mike could certainly butt in on first and second downs.
So whose defense is it then, Ray?
Oh, it's Mike Tomlin's defense.
Okay.
I mean, I think everyone knows that, but Terrell is certainly involved, and, you know, he's calling a lot of the plays, and he's designing things during the week for sure. But, yeah, this is Mike Tomlin's defense.
Ray, could the situation you just described where Austin might call plays on first and second and then Tomlin butts in on a weighty down possibly be one of the reasons that they can't get things communicated?
My God, they're terrible on third and long, Ray. It's brutal.
Yeah, I mean, I'd just be speculating, but you guys know their percentages are, I think, on both third and fourth down. I know third down, last time I checked, they were like 27th in the league. I haven't checked on fourth down in a while just because I don't think they've had too many of those opportunities, but they were way down there on fourth down conversions against.
They're 24th in the league in both categories, third and fourth downs allowed,
right? There you go, Ray.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, they just have a hard time getting off the field. And, you know, listen, when we were talking to Austin, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago, and, you know, their yards allowed has been high all year. Now it's up to 386, but even a couple weeks ago it wasn't that bad. But people were kind of asking him about, you know, the numbers, why they were down so low in the rankings. And, you know, he kind of said, well, you know, I kind of look at other metrics. You know, I look at getting off the field, and I look at turnovers. And then you look at what happens the last couple of weeks, you're not getting off the field against the Bengals and the Packers, and you're not creating turnovers against either of those teams. That's when things really snowball on you. So when you're letting teams drive up and down the field for almost 400 yards a game, you're going to give up touchdowns, you're going to give up field goals, and you're going to be behind the eight ball if you're not creating those turnovers like we saw in the first month or so of the season.
Ray, it's prediction time. I said at the beginning of the show, I'm not going to bet any kind of piercing or anything like that. But I think the Steelers are going to beat the Colts on Sunday. And Donnie's rebuttal was they're going to get bludgeoned, was the word he used. What is Ray going with? Are you on my side that this is a Tomlin special?
Well, I'm probably somewhere in between. I think it's going to be high scoring. I think the Steelers are going to be able to score against the Colts. I just think it's a really bad matchup for the Steelers defense. They're injured now. They got moving parts in the secondary. So I'm going to say this one's over for sure. Colts 41, Steelers 30.
Jeez.
Ray.
Thank you, Ray.
Furthermore, Ray, as a Holy Cross grad, will Penn State be taking a serious look at former Holy Cross and current James Madison head coach Bob Chesney for that opening? Now that Matt Rhule's staying at Nebraska.
I'm on a group text with a bunch of my former teammates, and that news was out and about 2-3 weeks ago. That Penn State was looking at him. So that, I don't know where you got that, Malzy, but that appears to be accurate.
A Malzy mole. Thank you, Ray. Appreciate it. We'll talk again soon. Goodbye.
All right, guys.
Colts 41, Steelers 30.
I got better Penn State sources than Bechtold, and I don't even like Penn State.
Donnie, would you call that a bludgeoning? 41-30, that fall into the bludgeoning?
That's a beating.
I would say if it's like a 41-23 game and they score 100%. At the end, like it's a cosmetic touchdown.
Bludgeon.
Yeah, but if it's like 34-30 and the Colts score, then
question.
I would say no. They hung
the defense
in there.
Got bludgeoned if they give up 41.
What if it's 38-30? Colts get the ball back with 4 minutes to go. Steelers need to stop, and instead they just run 4 minute offense.
No,
perfection.
That's not a bludgeoning. I've got very distinct rules and defined rules on bludgeoning.
I feel like it's got to be like 20 plus points, unless there's something like very close to that, like 18, and there's a cheapie scored with 10 seconds to go.
Do you know if it's 40-31, that score has never happened in NFL history?
He said 41-30.
I know, but if it's like one off in each direction,
that would be a score-agami.
How do you know that?
40-31.
How do you know that?
Because I watch the score-agami feed every Sunday, and that always is the best chance at a score-agami.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Is 40 to
5:30, time to make the smart call to the Buell Insurance Agency, 724-443-5610. Time for Total Request Thursday. Once a week, you are given four choices, and you pick what you want us to talk about at 5:30 on Thursday. 10% of you are flabbergasted that Derek Shelton is back as
a manager, a skipper in baseball.
Yes. 10%.
Howdy, Skip.
Wanted us to play clips like this.
But let's stop sugarcoating everything. There's only one thing that Derek Shelton's good at, and that's giving his players nicknames. I don't want to hear about Chappie and this one and Scotty Too Hottie or whatever the hell else nickname he has. He has blown more games with his managerial changes at pitching. Go over all the games that we've lost, that we've had leads, because of Derek Shelton pitching changes. This is amateur hour.
I love the way that ends.
Amateur hour still is it's actually my favorite part of it. And I know Paul in Washington dislikes me now.
I was hoping to meet Paul in Washington last night at the event. I'm disappointed he wasn't there because I like him. And I wanted Carolyn Clinton to be there.
Have you met him before?
No. And I wanted Candy and Monroeville to be there.
Let me just say for the record, having met Paul in Washington,
yeah,
I don't know if any caller to the station that I've ever met is more exactly like they are in their calls in person than Paul.
Donnie, you have a take on that?
He's identical.
I think that is pretty close. You know who I did meet last night that I was happy that I finally met? Our buddy Emmanuel in Carnegie.
I know,
who calls
great dude.
All the time.
Wait, I agree with that.
I might not have.
Yeah, he was there doing
his
thing.
Yeah, he was there.
Damn it.
16% of you want us to talk about a big Penguins-related news item. Ben Kindle going to play tonight. That means he's going over the 9-game threshold. That means he ain't going back to juniors.
Nope.
Huge topic in the Penguins' first month of the season and their surprising start to the season.
15%. 16%.
16%.
Good decision by them, though, I will
30%
say.
30% said, let's talk about your nipples some more. You got them pierced. They're still in. They hurt. Tell us about how much you cried. Tell us about how much you hated it. Tell us maybe if you were turned
lost
on by it.
Lost the respect of your wife, yes, as a result of it.
30% said, talk about your nipples. But as often the case, you play the hits, and 45% of you, nearly half, said, oh, you want us to talk about Tomlin being on the hot seat. A Tomlin hot seat murmur, rumor, rumbling. And this one comes from Jim Furyk. You know him, Malzi?
Yes, I know who Jim Furyk is.
Donnie, do you know who Jim Furyk is?
Like the golfer?
I don't know another Jim Furyk. Do you think the percentage is zero that Jim Furyk would ask Jerry Dulac a question about the Steelers in his chat?
No, it's greater than zero.
Because he's a Steelers fan? And because Jerry's a golf guy?
Presumably, yeah.
But I would say if it's actually him, don't you think he's on good enough terms with Dulac where he could just text him
the question? What if Jerry asked him to ask a question wanting to say, look at this celebrity. This guy is a major champion.
Oh, that's a great point.
Heat, baby.
What percentage do you really put it at? 5, 10?
I could see this happening. Furyk texts Dulac a question on the,
record, and then Jerry goes,
Jerry says,
that in my mailbag.
Put that in my chat.
I'll answer it. I want to answer it publicly.
This will get people fired up.
Furyk, by the way, I played golf a couple of times with one of his, I think it's his cousin,
yeah,
who's also a good player.
He's friends with Amanda. They went to college together
Chris
at West Virginia. Chris Furyk.
Yeah.
And his good friend, Bob Huggins Jr., Kyle.
Okay, so Chris is a really good player himself.
He's another one of my great friends.
Nowhere near, obviously, Jim. He said Jim came in for a bachelor party kind of thing, something that family's getting married. So they went to Allegheny Country Club. He said, Jim, very casually, the front nine at Allegheny is very short, the back nine's newer and it's much longer, but he said he very casually went out, I believe on the front nine, hit every green, whatever, shot 27, wasn't even trying, shot 9 under on the front nine. He said he's hitting driver on these short par fours to like 5 feet. And mind you,
absurd.
Mind you, Jim Furyk never considered a very long hitter on the PGA Tour. Just insane.
All right, so you think this might actually be Jim Furyk?
Yeah, I think there's a legitimate chance.
I think
Jim
it's a
Furyk.
Good question, and I would guess Jim's a pretty informed Steelers fan. Paul Alexander was in the building and heard about this and said that he's talked to Furyk about the Steelers. So he thinks Furyk has big takes. Furyk's question, hello, Jerry. Are you under the impression that Art Rooney, too, is angry with Coach Tomlin over the lack of playoff wins in the last decade, or getting so little out of the highest paid defense in the NFL? I think good job by Furyk so far. I like those questions.
Solid work.
Dulac's response. Angry is not the word. Frustrated or impatient would be a better choice.
Impatient would imply, I guess, did he only just become impatient? Because if he's been that way for a while, giving Tomlin a new contract was an odd way to show his
impatience.
Yeah,
I've seen Jerry write about their impatience and urgency before as an organization, and then they don't do the thing that would quell the impatience or urgency. And at the end of the year, Art just comes out and says flowery things about Tomlin.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. He has a very funny way of showing frustration or impatience because these seasons end catastrophically every year with blowout playoff losses or not making the playoffs. And nothing about those season-ending results make you think that Tomlin's or that Rooney is frustrated.
Well, it reminds me sometimes of when we've said lately, Bob Nutting has talked about needing urgently to win with the Pirates and nothing really changes.
It's a buzzword is what you're saying.
It's really not dissimilar from what you're describing right there. Yeah, urgency, impatience, frustration. It's something that tells the masses, hey, look, oh, no. Like, we really are. We're monitoring the situation. We're looking into it. And we are getting frustrated.
Ever heard that one, Donnie?
Time or two.
Looking into it often gets followed with silence until you really press the issue because that person might be busy with other things. I'll give some of the people who say that often some grace. With Art Rooney, this is your baby. This is your only thing. So if you're frustrated about it, you picked a weird way to show it when you gave him his last deal.
Yeah, he's not doing the Jerry Jones thing where he's telling the Wall Street Journal, I'm on the phone with you talking about gas.
I got $100 billion
in gas.
That's why I'm not trying to fix the defense. Come on now. Did you see that quote, Donnie?
I care more about gas than I do about my crappy defense.
He's got this thing called this like Comstock natural gas like piece of property or whatever.
Yep.
Worth $100 billion, and he straight up says, why do you think I'm on the phone with you? I got all this money I could make here. I'm not trying to fix the Cowboys defense.
He's got so much money, and his legacy is tied up with the Cowboys.
The pursuit of it, of the more money is what matters.
100%. I was just going to say, he's wired that way to always be a capitalist and always want more.
That's a more fun, competitive industry for him than football, where he can try to put the pieces on the board, but he can't make them like play well. Or in his case, trade his best defensive piece off the board and say we needed to get better at stopping the run.
The thing that I would ask Jones, because he does press conferences after every game, is, Jerry, all the other GMs in the league are 100% all in on football. You're clearly not. Why do you think you can do this job with divided attention, whereas these other guys have fully committed to making their football team better?
I would be willing to bet that he's probably been asked that by somebody down there.
You think it's a tough media market? Dallas?
Reasonably.
You like Dallas, Don? Never been?
Never.
What's the toughest media
market?
Never
been to Texas.
Okay, if the three toughest are in whatever order you want, New York,
think Philly's
Boston,
brutal.
Philly.
I'm going Philly one.
But you mean from the media?
I think from everybody.
Oh, see, I think the media, New York is tougher, and then Boston. But I think Philly's fans are so absolutely overwhelming. If Nick Sirianni right this second were to lose two games in a row, they'd be calling for his head. The fans would be. There's no question in my mind.
I mean, there's a fan in this building that would call for his head.
Well, Seth calls
the MILF Hunter.
Seth calls for his head if they have like a bad quarter.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash.
Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.